Welcome, dear friends, to the message of truth. We're delighted to come your way and share with you the Word of God. We're going to be in the book of Colossians. We'll start with the introduction again and then go into looking at the principles of the spiritual life as found in this first chapter. We could go through the whole book, but we're going to look at the first chapter and trust it'll be a blessing to you and encouragement, and that each of us might come out of this study far more biblically spiritual than when we enter. But it's a delight to have you there. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll have a quality song and get right into the teaching of the Word of God. Father, I want to thank you for each one who has taken the time to listen. Lord, I thank you for these folk, and they could be doing a lot of other things. But there are some who tell us weekly how they appreciate the Word of God and how they appreciate the studies, and that it's been a blessing to them. And so we pray you'd continue to work with them and encourage them. Then there may be some listening, maybe for the first time, and they're not sure if they're saved. I pray we'll make the message so clear that they'll understand what it is to be born again, and then they might come to know thee as their personal Savior or be assured that they have done that. They have called upon the precious Lord Jesus, and they have asked him to save them. And we're going to praise thee, Lord, for whatever is accomplished, because we ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
So precious is Jesus, my Savior, my King. His praise all the day long with rapture I sing. To him in my weakness for strength I can cling, for he is so precious to me. For he is so precious.
Friend, let me ask you a question. Is he precious to you? I trust that he is. He is so precious. And I certainly can say he is so precious to me. Just to save me. That would be sufficient. And yet daily he loadeth us with blessings. He and just Psalms 103 is a tremendous psalm to read. Psalm 37, another one. Those who just encourage your heart. Now, we're talking about the local church. We said that Paul was writing to a local church here in Colossae. And he wrote to those others that we mentioned here in the New Testament. You read, he wrote to pastors who are pastoring local assemblies. And then the beloved Apostle John writes to seven churches. The book of Revelation is given, is revealed, the end time revealed to seven churches. And then, of course, to we who are here preparatory to the actual events of the book of Revelation. So we believe in the local church, believe that that is God's source or foundation of ministry. Certainly the Word of God is, but what I'm talking about is the sending out of missionaries, the working in communities to try to help people, you know, not just for society, not just better as society, but rather that people might be better, that they might come to know Jesus Christ, whom know right is life eternal. That's the thrust of the local church. But I want you to see something. When the Lord gave the great statement here in Matthew chapter 16, and you might go back and just take a look at this. Matthew chapter 16, this is the church, I believe it was C.I. Schofield who coined the phrase, the universal church, and a lot of people get uptight about it. What he was trying to say or what he did say. Not trying, he did say. This is the church that's made up of born-again believers around the world. It has been my privilege to be in many countries of this world. And you know something? I didn't have to have somebody tell me I am a Christian. You met them, your heart bore witness with their heart, your spirit with their spirit, that they were children of God. What a blessed privilege. But these are people who make up that body. Now notice what the Lord said. In verse 17, in 16, Peter says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." This is Matthew 16. Then verse 17, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock," that is the statement that he made, "thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," verse 16, "upon this rock I will build my church." Now, that's not the local church. The local church is out of this church, if you please. This is the, notice, "the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And then he goes on and says, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth thou shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Now, it doesn't mean that Peter has the door, has a right to let people in heaven or keep them out. He's the one that opened the door with the gospel of Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 2 to Jews of all over the world. In chapter 10, he opens up the gospel to the Gentiles, and they come to know Christ as their personal Savior. Now, he was saying as he presents the Word of God, and beloved, it's basically that same thing for you and me. As we present the gospel of Christ, it opens the heart of men, not you, not me, but rather the Word of God opens the heart of men to receive God's word and accept the sacrifice, the death of Christ on the cross, the blood of Christ as a covering for their sin. Now go back with me. Now notice, Jesus said the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. Now honestly, you can look at local churches that have just, I guess, had Ichabod written over the door. Many churches are closed. I know some churches have closed because low attendance and whatever other reasons. And so we'll not get into those reasonings. So the local church can founder and fall and be closed and no longer be effective as a witness. But the church And look here, if you will, in Colossians chapter 1. It says in verse 17, he is before, that's Christ, is before all things. And by him, Christ, all things consist or are held together. That's the creation chapter, or verse 16. Now, verse 18. And he, Christ, is the head of the body, the church, which is a beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence, for it pleased the Father, that in him should all fullness dwell. This has to do with that body of Christ, the church, the people who have been born again. The word church means, is the Greek word ekklesia, and it means a called out assembly. So these are people who are called out from the world system, from the world's allurement, and they have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. God has brought them to himself. So when he's talking here in verse 18, he is talking about this invisible church, if you please. It's not invisible because in any country you go to, there they are. They're born again. It's going to be interesting when the rapture takes place. I mean, these are believers from all around the world that will go to be with the Lord. It's been my privilege in Eastern Europe, Asia, and Africa, and just so many different places where we've had the privilege of sharing the Word of God and seeing people come to Jesus Christ throughout America. And their people will all be raptured off of this earth, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, or will go by way of the grave. But you notice here he's talking about his body, the church. Now, that's not a local assembly, although the body makes up local assemblies around the world. He does the same thing in Ephesians. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1. And he introduces the Ephesians to this very same truth. Look, if you will, with me, verse 22. And hath put all things under his feet, that is, God's put all things under Christ's feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. You see, that is why you and I ought to be careful about our lives. We ought to be living lives that are pleasing unto the Lord, because we make up the body of Christ from all of our churches. And so those who have been born again make up that body. Now, that's the group that Paul is talking to, even though he's talking to the church at Colossae. You see, each of our churches, each of our local churches, need to be an assembly of people who are seeking to live faithfully unto the Lord and live a spiritual quality, spiritual life. Now, so he gets these people to thinking a little bit. Now, how did they get here? Well, he said in verse 4, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love which ye have to all saints. So when one receives Christ, they now have a love for the others who have received Christ. Now notice where they got it. Look at verse 5. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. He draws them back to the fact that what they have, their faith, the faith that they declare, the having been born again came through the Word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Jesus said in John 15, now you're clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. Look at verse 6. Which is come unto you, that is, the word of God is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. That truth, you see, the word of God is truth. The word of God is God's holy word, and you know you need to get it into your mind as 2 Timothy 3:16, For all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And also, as Peter writes, that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's how the Word of God came to us. Holy men of God. Not some frivolous thing. It didn't come floating down out of the sky, but God gave it to men to write. Some 40 individuals authored the Word of God, but God is, I should say it this way, wrote the Word of God, but God is the author of that and gave that to these men. They spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so Paul is telling this church, let's be careful about how we identify ourselves. We are part of the body of Christ through the Word of God. Go with me to verse 9, if you will. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, that is their faith, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You know, where do we get the knowledge of God? Why, you know, we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Peter says, grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. But where do we get that? You know, we can look at many other places, but I'll just draw your attention to Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, where God tells Joshua if he's going to lead the children of Israel properly, and you go ahead and read the verse, I'm just going to give you just a brief paraphrase. He says, Joshua, just think about this word. Meditate on it day and night, for then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Well, we're going to listen to a song to refresh our minds and just kind of relax our thinking a little bit, but get right back into these thoughts.
Living by faith.
Living by faith.
Living by faith.
Living by faith
in Jesus alone. I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if sunshine or shadow or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain.
Though tempest may blow and the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of life, I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. The Master looks on at the strife.
Yes, I am living by faith.
Yes, living by faith.
In Jesus alone.
In Jesus alone.
Trusting, confide.
Trusting, confiding in his great love. Yes, in his great love.
From all harm safe.
From all harm safe in his sheltering arms. His sheltering arms.
I'm living by faith.
Living by faith. And I feel no alarm. Feel no alarm.
Our Lord will return to this earth some sweet day. Our troubles will then all be o'er. The Master so gently will lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore.
Living by faith.
Yes, living by faith.
In Jesus alone.
In Jesus alone.
Trusting, confide.
Trusting, confiding in his great love. Yes, in his great love.
From all harm safe.
From all harm safe in his shelter.
Living by faith,
living by faith,
living by faith,
living by faith
in Jesus alone.
Amen. Living by faith in Jesus alone. You know, dear friend, that's what it's all about. When we're talking about being spiritual and talking about God doing a work in our hearts, as we said, we make up the local assembly, but it's you and I who are the ones that must be spiritual. The building isn't spiritual. The building is nothing. I have been with believers meeting under a tree. I have been with believers meeting in termite-infested wooden frames, just shallow frames. And yet they're rejoicing in the Lord. Beloved, circumstances do not make us either happy, sad, spiritual, or carnal. Circumstances don't do that. You and I do that with our attitude and how we recognize what God has done for us, or maybe we think he hasn't done anything. And so that's why I'm saying that in this body of Christ, we who make up the body of Christ should be, and I want to say this very emphatically, you should be a member of a fundamental Bible preaching church. May call itself Baptist, may call itself Bible, but it ought to be fundamental and have a clear line of demarcation of what you believe. You and I need to be that. I'm going to worship God out in the woods. No, you're not. You're going to go out there and look for acorns or something else, but you're not going to worship God as you say. Yeah, I know you can. I've been out hunting and looking and just amazed at some of the things I've seen, and just thank the Lord for his hand of creation, how he created this world. Yes, there are things that draw our attention, but that is not a substitute for the local assembly where we would be trained in the Word of God. Forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together as a manner some is, and so much more, as you see the day approaching. So, we need to understand that we are members of Christ's body, and we are members one of another. Now, I want to go back and look at a verse of Scripture, and I'm picking out some verses, and I could contextually back all of this up, but I for the sake of what we're doing, I'm going to stay within these verses and bring them to you. In Romans, in chapter 4, in verse 24, Paul writes, "But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed." Now you go back and read the setup, that how the promise was made and how God made promise to man about righteousness and so forth. "But it was to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him," that's God, "that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We will be made like unto Christ. We will be like him, for we shall see him as he is." But that's the hope, or that's the assurance, and that's what we are looking forward to. But he says here that Christ was delivered for our offenses, but he was raised for our justification. So we who make up the body of Christ, we who claim salvation by grace through faith, as Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 say, we are part of this body. And therefore, we have been redeemed. So now we make up a body, that body of Christ, which will be in Revelation, we read about the marriage supper of the Lamb, when he with his bride, and that is we who make up the body of Christ. It isn't only Baptist, it isn't only Presbyterian, it isn't only Methodist. I believe there'll be saved people from all those churches, let that in God's hands. I'm an independent Baptist. I plan to stay that. Like somebody said, when the Baptists go off half-cocked, I'll separate from them. But there are some who have gone off. But very simply, I am an independent Baptist because I believe it is that position is closer to the biblical rendering than any other. And I'll stay that way. But what I'm preaching to you isn't Baptist. What I'm preaching to you is Bible. You see, he has made peace. Look at verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross. So when Paul is writing to this church, the first thing he does in here, he, of course, lets them know that it's from the gospel. They got saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that makes them saved, where they call upon that. Now, he refreshes their mind that it's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that has cleansed them from all sin. But I want to give you something to think about here as we're at the conclusion of our program. I want you to go back with me. And the first thing about spiritual living in today's society and in the church is found right here. And he is before all things, verse 17, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Now note this, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Now I'm going to say something here. Somebody might question it. That's okay. God is given to you and to me everything we need to be spiritual. Huh? Yeah, God's given it to us. It's a matter of whether or not we want to do it. We want to accept it. We want to follow through. And that's what the balance of this chapter is going to do. Show us how we can follow through with this matter that God has given us, the fullness in Christ. If you believe that Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, that he, as he said, you know, the disciples said, show us the Father, it suffices us. He said, you've been so long with me, hast thou not known me? He was God. We're going to give you some scriptures about this, but I want to contend with you, dear friend, that as you read the Word of God and read the balance of this chapter, you have everything at your disposal. Through the Spirit of God, through the power of God, you and I can live a spiritual life. Have you been born again? It's the blood, through the blood. I trust that you'll call upon the Lord today if you've not been. Father, speak to hearts, save souls, and we rejoice as you bring revival to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. If we might help you spiritually, dear friend, please contact us at WOTBM.org. That's our website. You can get on there and find out all kind of information and also the very simple plan of salvation that we've been speaking about. And if you want to contact us, communicate with us, there you can get the email, but the email is WOTBM.org. And we'll get back to you as quickly as possible. You'll not be on a mailing list, but you will receive the help you request. We'd love to do that.